8. Marcus. Sitting on a stool back in his tent, Marcus stared blindly at the three remaining chests of coins he had in his possession. 2 silver, 1 gold. The silver would all go to paying the men their next round of wages, the pittance they received for endlessly risking their lives in the name of the Empire. It was in his power to withhold the coin, if needed for other purposes, but he'd never done so, and wouldn't now. Sir? He turned his head to see one of his men step inside, paper grasped in his hand. Yes.
Racker sent a count,
the young man answered, approaching to hand Marcus the papers.
And a letter arrived for you. Origins unknown.
Nodding, Marcus waited until the soldier had retreated out of the tent, then unfolded the first scrap of paper, recognizing the 37th's head surgeon's precise scrawl. 233. His chest hollowed, but he shoved away the grief in favor of retrieving a piece of paper in his own hand that sat waiting on the table. He added the number to it, then finalized the mathematics. It was a start. In truth, a start greater than he'd hoped possible, but only if this gambit worked. Marcus took several gulps of water from the cup sitting next to him, about to rise, when his gaze fell on the other letter that had arrived. Specifically, on the purple seal stamped in the shape of a flower. Picking it up, he cracked the wax and unfolded the thick paper, a separate scrap falling loose onto the table as he did. The letter was written in traitor's tongue, or Mudamorian, as he'd come to know it. The language spread across all of Wreath by virtue of the Marin's use of it. He spoke it well enough, but reading it was another matter, and he sorely wished Tariana was here. For more reasons than just his need for a translator. Greetings to Marcus, commander of the armies of the Selendor Empire. We have recently learned of your arrival on the shores of Aranoquia, and of your desire to facilitate trade between the nations of the West and your homeland. It is our sincerest wish to come to a peaceable and mutually profitable arrangement between our nations. We are desirous of meeting you face to face to discuss terms, a meeting we look to with great anticipation. Her Royal Majesty, Queen Erdene of Catamarca. He'd hoped for this. Catamarca was not a military power, but they were the breadbasket of the southern continent. An alliance with them would be advantageous on many levels. Then his eyes went to the letter's postscript. Please find, enclosed, a token of our goodwill. Frowning, he picked up the scrap of paper that had been included with the letter, turning it over. It was written in an unfamiliar language, which he surmised was Catamarcan. But he didn't need to understand what was written to recognize the handwriting, or the name signed at the bottom. Tariana of the Quincents. His stomach hollowed, his fingers feeling the texture of the paper, which was identical to that the legions used. Handwritten in pencil, rather than ink. Supplies taken from his own command tent, which meant it was pointless to hope it predated her capture by Cassius. What did it say? Nothing good. For what better way to earn the goodwill of a foreign power than to reveal a traitor in its midst? What did you expect? A bitter voice whispered inside his head. She's not here of her own volition. You know she wants you to fail, to be forced into a retreat to Selendor. You know you two are enemies. Yet, knowing all these things did nothing to ease the pain that replaced the hollowness in his stomach. Even if she'd sent this note when they'd first arrived in Aranoquia, before they'd become involved, she'd still never confessed to having done so. Had been content with allowing the move she'd put in motion to play out. You can't trust her. Do you have time to talk? Felix's voice filled his ears, and Marcus lifted his head to find his second in command standing at the entrance to his tent. About what? The words came out sharper than he intended, and Felix grimaced before moving farther inside. You need to get some sleep. Noted. Is there something else you need? Silence stretched between them, the tension strange and unfamiliar. While he and Felix had fought many times over many things over the years, it had never been like this. Then again, no matter how hard they'd butted heads, he'd never had cause to question his best friend's loyalty. Yeah, I... Felix's brow furrowed. Are things all right with us? Then he gave a violent shake of his head. Don't answer that. I know you're angry at me for advising you to proceed with the battle rather than to negotiate with enemy demands. You advised me to allow them to cut Tariana up and send me the pieces rather than to pursue a different strategy. Yeah. Felix rocked on his heels. The tips of his ears, just visible through hair that needed to be cut, were bright red. I'm not going to lie and say that I think what you did was right. That false retreat nearly resulted in us being crushed between two armies, and while we still would have won, a lot of our brothers would have died. It was only luck that you got back in time, and you know what Wex says about luck. Wex was commandant of Campus Lessendor and Marcus's mentor. He was also famous for saying that a good commander should never rely on luck, because luck always ran out when you needed it most. You chose Tariana over your own brothers, and everyone knows it, Marcus. They know you gambled with their lives to save a girl. It was the truth, though he hadn't realized how high the stakes were when he'd thrown the dice. Yet even if he had, Marcus knew his decision would have been the same. Your point? The men are letting it slide because you pulled a victory out of your ass the way you always do. But you can't put her ahead of them again. You just can't. Marcus didn't answer, only stared Felix down, refusing to bend. Are you a traitor? I don't like her, Felix continued, his gaze fixing on the table between them. I think she's a smartass who believes she can say and do whatever she wants because you have her back. True, except that Tariana would say and do whatever she wanted even if she stood alone. But that doesn't mean I want anything bad to happen to her. I know she didn't ask to be put in this position and is just doing what she needs to do to survive. Felix was trying to cover his tracks. What other purpose could he have for saying all of this? For trying to make it seem he wouldn't have been delighted if Tariana had died at Ashok's hands? And then trying to cast the blame on Marcus for the mercenary army nearly catching them unaware, despite his actions having put them in that position in the first place. Anger coiled in Marcus's stomach, but he kept it in check, because he could not act without proof. Felix sighed heavily. It feels like you've forgotten that she's fighting for the other side. I hope you keep in mind that having you wrapped around her little finger is to her advantage, not ours. Marcus's hand tightened, and Tariana's note crumbled where he gripped it. Noted. Anything else? No. Felix's jaw worked back and forth. Everything you asked for has been done or is being done. We're watching the clans to make sure they aren't thinking of moving against us or one another, but thus far, it appears as though they're content to wait for their payout. Good. You may go. Sir. Felix saluted sharply, then turned to leave. But then he hesitated. I can't watch your back if you keep pushing me away. Then it's a good thing I can watch my own. Felix flinched, but said nothing else. Only strode out of the tent, leaving Marcus alone. You can't trust anyone. The thought settled heavily on his mind, weighing him down more than exhaustion. Amarin chose that moment to enter the tent, puttering about and putting things back in their places. Busy work, and having lived with him for 8 years, Marcus knew his servant was about to start mothering him. Sure enough, Amarin said.
Your armor needs repairs. I'll have it done now, so you'll have it back when you need it.
Tariana's note still gripped in his fist. Marcus stood and allowed the older man to remove his armor, which was sporting several dents.
There's wash water in the back.
Amarin gathered up all the pieces, frowning at one of the dents.
When should I wake you?
3 hours, Marcus answered, his own voice distant in his ears. He went into the rear tent, his eyes flicking to Tariana's bedroll. Her stack of belongings. Strained muscles moving stiffly, he pulled off his clothes, tossing them in a corner, and glanced down at his body. He was covered in livid purple bruises and his ribs throbbed, but it was his throat, which had been nearly crushed, that hurt worst of all. It ached when he spoke, when he swallowed, when he breathed. Ignoring the wash water, he lay down on the side that hurt less, staring at the knuckles on his bruised hand, which had been split in the fight and were now crusted with scabs. And his head. His head felt like it was being crushed between the hands of a giant, every beat of his heart thunder in his ears. Just go to sleep. Except everything hurt,
and his mind kept flipping from problem to problem, refusing to settle, refusing to give him any peace. Reaching across to Terianna's belongings, he retrieved a small silk sachet sitting on top. A ship had arrived today from the island where the Quincence was anchored, and they'd had a parcel of clothing that her Aunt Yetta had sent. Pressing the sachet to his nose, he inhaled cedar and orange blossoms and sea, scents he associated with Terianna. But the reminder of her only made him feel worse. Could he trust her? Or was Felix right, that she was only manipulating his emotions to achieve her own ends? Was any of what he believed was between them real? Tossing the sachet back on the pile of her clothes, he squeezed his eyes shut, running through the myriad of exercises he'd been taught to fall asleep, even in the worst of conditions. But his mind refused to be silenced. Rolling, he flinched as pain lanced up his side. But then his gaze latched on his pile of weapons, his belt twisted through the mess of metal. He reached out an arm and caught hold of it, unbuckling his belt pouch, fingers moving through the contents until they found a small glass vial at the bottom. He stared at the foggy contents that he'd had no use for in a long time. Narcotics for pain, which he'd gotten in the habit of keeping on him when the 37th was in Bardeen, when they'd been finishing their training under the guidance of the 29th Legion and its legatus, Hostus. Old hatred and fear twisted through his guts at the memory of the older legatus. "You're not 16 anymore," he muttered at himself, "and the 29th is on the far side of the world." Shoving the thoughts away, he unscrewed the top of the vial. Racker kept tight control over his narcotics, particularly this one, but there were certain advantages to being in command. And if Marcus wanted more, he could get it. Rolling onto his back, Marcus measured 2 drops onto his tongue, hesitated, then added 1/3. He'd barely managed to return the vial to his belt pouch when his vision split into 2, and then into 3. Curling in on himself, Marcus let out a slow breath, his body relaxing as the pain of his injuries faded, as a haze flowed over his thoughts, slowly silencing the prattle, dulling the emotions. But as he slipped from consciousness, 1 thought remained, loud and desperate. Please let it be real.